New series. 27, Tip of Heaven.
Yeah, I mean, this is a bit of a weird start to a series in that we're recording off the back of Series 6. Behind the scenes. So we don't have that usual delirium of it's been a while since we've seen each other. So this is an odd start already.
Could just pretend that we have.
Hi, guys!
Long time no see.
Wow, you both. It's a nice noise, isn't it?
That's the noise he makes when he hasn't seen you for a while.
I normally do this to myself quietly for a while.
You can hear that. Oh, that's Mark. I've not seen him for a while.
Guys.
Yep, right. That's a minute. All right.
Cool. So, hello and welcome to The Great British Sitcom, the show in which you watch some potentially forgotten sitcom classics to see if this is the test of time. I'm Mark and these are the Chris's.
Hello.
Hello, welcome back.
And today we're watching Slinger's Day.
It's Slinger's Day?
It is Slinger's Day, oh, okay. Yeah. And it's important that we watch series two of this one, I've just remembered, because I think the guy that was in the previous series, yeah, Leonard Rossiter was series one. He died.
Rising Damp. Yeah.
Yeah, he died after the first series was filmed, so they needed a replacement.
Happy birthday in heaven, Leonard Rossiter.
Happy birthday in heaven, did you say?
Yes.
Is it his birthday? Or?
Eventually, yeah.
So wait a minute, so is this series two of Slinger's Day and the series one had someone completely different in it?
Yeah, exactly. I think it was like a different manager takes over the supermarket, I think. Would I'm assuming you're at the ready of a premise. You're holding your phone. If not, would you be able to read the premise?
If not, put your phone down and listen.
Yeah, I can do.
No, sorry, I just assume you might be able to guess.
Yeah. What do you want, the plot?
The premise of Asserite, yeah. Or premise or plot, whatever.
Cecil Slinger, played by Forsyth, is designated by the Superfair supermarket chain as the new manager in the branch that had previously been run by Norman Tripper. Like his predecessor, Slinger is forced to manage a supermarket branch that employs possibly the worst supermarket staff in the world. Mr. Christian, the cheerful but naive assistant manager, Fred, a lazy alcoholic and inept security guard, Hardy, the union shop steward, as well as Higgins, Hardy's assistant of sorts, Secretary Sylvia, and the Pop-Tart like checkout cashier Dottie. I imagine that means she's covered in sprinkles.
Unsuspectingly baking hot inside. Please handle with care.
Piping hot.
Piping. Why is it what? Why is it piping hot? Why is it the word piping hot? Piping hot.
Pipes have hot.
Sorry, no, that's a good question. I don't know.
Piping.
It's so hot. It always gets me an idea of like an old phrase, isn't it? Like piping hot. Like, oh, this dinner's piping hot.
But what is the piping referring to?
Would it have anything to do with like people shoveling coal and then like for
coming
like
out
furnaces,
of
that type of thing, out of like the chimneys
piping.
And all the pipes like internally of like warehouses and stuff.
It's I just checked it. It's the steam shot out of a spouted tea kettle.
Oh, is that okay? Much less industrial than I hope.
Piping hot.
I wouldn't want to eat something that's that piping hot, though.
But, no, that's like, yeah, but at the boiling point, you'd let it blow on it a bit. Does anything, like blowing on food?
Well, yes, it cools it down.
Does it actually, though?
Well, what do you mean?
Why does it cool
down? Unless you're, like, breathing out, like, 100-degree heat out of your mouth, like
a dragon.
Bizarro.
What?
Bizarro.
Or him.
Because he's got the opposite to Superman's powers, isn't he?
Bizarro.
Yeah. So Superman's got like heat vision and like his breath is like super cool. But then like this opposite version of Superman, he's got ice vision and flame breath.
Oh, Bizarro. That's why it's called Bizarro. Bizarro.
Yeah, because you're blowing. Yeah, presumably your breath is hot, colder than the food, and you're blowing the hot away from it, aren't you? that's what I teach anyway.
You blow away the miasma. Okay, that's that covered. Piping hot.
This was written by someone called Brian Cook, who was responsible for George Mildred, Man About the House, and Starting from Scratch. But I've got another note here that says it's also been co-written by, and I think you'll be happy especially.
Okay.
It's written by Vince Powell.
Oh, he rings a bell, doesn't he? Who's Powley? Powley is Pot Boys. Oh, fucking get in there. Get in there. Up with a lark.
So he's written a few of the sitcoms that we watch now, Vince Powell, and yeah, Bottle Boys being one more memorable ones of the lot.
The thing is that even though it's always a go-to joke for us, it's going to talk about bottle boys. I don't think it was that funny or outrageous or offensive. It was just a run-of-the-mill.
It was so middle of the road. Yeah, I think it was the thing that really got us.
It was Asquith.
What's the episode we're watching?
So I've written stupidly down series one, so we can't watch that. So let's just watch anything from series two that we can find.
What are the names of the show's episodes? Find a funny episode title.
Would are you okay to do that while I find something on YouTube?
When was this? Is this in the 1970s?
Well, for some reason on the Wikipedia, there's really random. It's only got episodes 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. So 7, we've got Lost and Found. 8, we've got Whose Baby? 9, Taken for a Ride. 10 is Initiative. And there's a premise for this one, which is the store must move 500 units of fish cakes before they go bad. I imagine that's just very monotonous. 11 is The Stock Take, and 12 is A Pain in the Neck. But pain spelled P-A-N-E.
And the screenshot for Bruce Forsyth there is pure Bruce. Like, sorry, if you both just look at that, that is pure Bruce Forsyth.
Funny, because I always think of, obviously, I think of Forsyth as being like a...
Like a host,
and he's like does a Royal Variety performance as a comedian and dancing and stuff. But I never really thought of him as being in like written like sitcoms and shows and stuff.
So which one would you like to watch? There's A Pain in the Neck. We can
Do Pain in the Neck. Yeah,
cool.
So it's not going to be pain, as in like pain. There's obviously like I don't know, window. Like a window or bread.
So maybe like there's a broken window in the supermarket or something, and that's awesome.
Get impaled in the neck. It's the first scene of Ghost, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, what a weird way to die.
death certificate. So Ghost. Got
just,
scared.
We just
saw
want
a ghost.
The calls. You don't want you to editorialise and give your opinion. What a funny way to die. But for me, that was the most unrealistic part of Ghost, was the way he died.
My dad always says the most unrealistic part of Ghost is when he's putting the coin up the wall, because he has to navigate the bottom of the door frame, and there's like bit for it to
go
up. Like, you've got the coin up
it's
it.
Fumbling it.
Ruined it for him. Immersion broken.
That pottery was substandard as well on that wheel.
Yeah,
fucking rubbish.
You know my feelings about pottery.
Do I? I don't know. you keep arson attacks on the civil. What's that? Oh, fucking hell. I was trying to think of the name of pottery. There's a famous one in there up in Stoke. What's it called?
What, Wedgwood?
Wedgwood, yeah. Keep doing arson attacks on the Wedgwood factories. Don't need to do that. You could just tip over a table without doing it.
arson attack, that just helps them out. It's like a kiln.
Oh,
my last
surprise.
Bonus.
Steve fucking Looney Tunes. Very good. Like Chris has the Roadrunner, but he's trying to destroy the Wedgwood factory, but he just keeps like running into like a painted on tunnel. Someone's painted the tunnel onto a hillside in Stoke, and Chris runs into it.
Oh, it's the last episode, apparently, A Pain in the Neck.
Oh.
Well, a bombastic ending.
So, after a window is smashed by a flying tin of potatoes, Slinger has to spend...
I like the emphasis on tin. Flying tin.
Oh, no, I think you'll be happy. Slinger has to spend the whole night guarding the store on order from the new company chairman, Mr. Crawford.
Oh, I bet the lighting supervisor
couple of wankers.
Sweating.
Sincerely, instead of going off on a tangent or saying stuff about willies and stuff, I talk about how the actual... sitcom. I make past comment on the sitcom, and I just get fucking roasted for it.
I imagine the setup for this episode was they went to the lighting guy and said, "Look, you've been coasting these two series. The lovely fluorescent lights have been a dream for you. Like, come on, no mucking around.
We've mostly done the freezer aisle.
We've got a night shot coming up for you now. It's big leagues. You're going to step up. Get the guy from Chelmsford 123 on the phone. He'll tell you how to do it."
When was this? Was this from the 70s? Obviously, ignore that. What was that from the 70s? Early 80s.
Late 80s.
Late 80s.
We were all alive when this last episode aired.
Yeah.
14th of October 1987.
Fun fact, everyone.
Yeah, wow.
Well,
I'd have been about four months, three and a bit months old.
I was nearly a year. Wow.
There's some uninteresting facts there for the listeners, but what a bleak sentence a tin
Win potatoes.
Yeah. A window broken by a tin of potatoes. My nanny's eating those fucking tin potatoes. Bleak. Fucking bleak. How hard is it to peel a potato? Come on, then.
Does she have anything with the potatoes or just like a cowboy off a can?
No, like a hobo sat around a burning bin.
Just with the edge of the tin still on it, like not even like to
fully
off.
Yeah, oh yeah,
she's in the background.
Yeah, she was, she was wearing fingerless gloves, of course, obviously. And a top hat with the top busted out. So what a bleak. Yeah, probably tin potatoes, tin carrots. Probably a fucking Fray Bentos or something.
To be fair, them tin carrots, they're all right. I remember my nan used to have them.
They're all good. Appalling.
Did I ever tell you about, I don't know where we were, my nan's stew that she made?
Oh, no, you have told us this story.
Oh, the famous stew.
Who's stew?
So my nan's place used to be like three floors, or two, three floors. And on the top Town floor house. Where my bedroom was, I was like, oh, what's that smell though? I can smell cooking. Went downstairs, oh, what are you cooking now? Oh, it's stew. Like, was 8 OXO cubes on the side. 8 beef OXO cubes on the side. And that's what I can smell all the way upstairs. Just pure OXO beef. 8 cubes.
What
food
is it?
Beef. I'm making an 8 cuber.
Whoa!
Stand by.
Party time!
I don't think she can handle it, Nan!
Pot bubbling.
Enough about in-house druggies. Well...
So yeah, all right. Let's just go. Oh no, a theme tune. Let's do that very quickly beforehand. Any suggestions as what you think that might be?
Swingers Day.
Slingers Day. Starts with a wolf whistle.
Go for like supermarket checkout noises.
Yeah,
like beeping.
I don't know what it would be.
It's just going to be an orchestral thing. It's going to be flutes, I reckon.
Just a little composition.
Lovely. That's going to be flutes, I reckon.
Okay.
And strings. I imagine it's going to be orchestral. Yeah.
As much as I want it to be like...
check out London.
Yeah, I don't think it will be. I think it will be something non-memorable. Rating, anyone want to guess or should skip past it?
Ratings, I reckon it's 7.4.
Woods, rather?
Well, I've seen it. I'd say it's lower. Oh, lower.
It's 6.2, the rating.
Didn't he do well?
So the stars Bruce Forsyth in Strictly Come Dancing, Play Your Cards Right, Philip Bird in Doctors, there's always a doctor in the house, David Kelly from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, he played Grandpa Joe.
Oh, what a prick.
Absolute wanker.
Yeah, no one liked him. Right, so yeah, let's go straight into it. We're on a tight schedule today, so let's go with it. We'll see you on the other side of this theme change. Watch the final episode of Slinger's Day entitled A Pain in the Neck. We don't want to talk very... Oh, and we spoke about the premise beforehand, actually, didn't we?
Yeah,
10 potatoes being thrown through a supermarket window, so you had to stay there overnight. Anyone want to go for any fun plot points or any characters in this, anything at all?
It was just jam-packed full of stuff, wasn't it? It was like everything they could have packed into that episode.
Jam. There was some jam,
I think. Yeah, there was literally some jam. They put... there was physical comedy...
Okay.
It was like physical comedy. There was malfunctioning machinery. There was mishearing people saying things. There was casual racism.
Mistaken identity.
All sorts.
There was alcoholism.
There
was. What wasn't
sexism?
We could get to say what wasn't in that program.
Yeah, it was literally check
insane
off
program. Yeah.
It was pretty packed full of. Like all the hallmarks of a sitcom that wouldn't stand the test of time.
Literally, just everything that could go in a sitcom. I was like, yeah, let's add it.
Yeah,
it's like they'd.
But for no reason.
To try to put every trope from a sitcom into one sitcom. Like, the music. The music was like.
Yeah, let's start there. That's a good place to start.
What is the. It's like.
So I think it was the
sooty thing.
Yeah. It was the sooty, basically the sooty thing. imagine picture, because it wasn't even, it was in the late 80s. Imagine picturing that music going, oh, we've done the music for Slinger's Game, the sitcom about a supermarket. Slinger's Day. Why would it call me Slinger's Game? What's called Slinger's Day, if anything?
Yeah.
Slinger's Day. Listen to this then. I think this is perfect, this music.
But let's be fair though, that music summed up the episode. Oh, yes. It summed perfect. Up that, oh, like, yeah. I could pick up all it perfect, perfect music. It was perfect.
To think I said it would be a fucking orchestral thing with flutes. What a twat.
That would have just totally thrown you off.
Unbelievable.
As soon as you heard that theme tune, you knew what you were in for.
And Brucey it, and it delivered. He was just Bruce. I'd be interested to see how the different performances between Len and Rossiter.
Rossiter, yeah.
Because I can't imagine he would have been so.
As hammed up.
Yeah. I reckon he would have been a lot more sort of hangdog and acerbic. Mm. Yeah, I'd be interested in comparison. Maybe we could do that in a future episode. Who knows? Probably not. But Brucey, he was just doing the same stuff that he does when he's like presenting the Generation Game or something. He was just. I really liked it because I think he's quite funny, to be fair. But the pitch of it, like the tone of his performance was like a pantomime, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, completely.
It was insane.
Like a pantomime. It was the pacing of it as well, because it was constantly like, right, one thing after another.
Yeah.
Like,
someone's closing the door now? Behind you. He's gone back in. There's someone else coming into the scene. And it's like,
yeah. And even like when they think they're going to have a little bit of a break, like, oh, you should have a cup of coffee, like, nice and relaxed. No, boom, the machine's malfunctioned. How's that? What's happening?
It's chicken soup. No.
We should for socials or something do like a series of stills or a supercut of all of his facial expressions, because they made it.
Yeah, I'll try to do that if I can.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Wow.
Well, hates the podcast. Not even moving the lawnmower around, just turned it on and left it there. That'd annoy him.
Yeah, well, I'll try to do a supercut.
Could you shut the curtains as well? Because that might deaden some of the sound. Because it's still quite
my lead line curtains, yeah.
Does it make a difference? It's a bit darker. Yeah. But,
it's going to really help with the lighting for the camera.
He's a bit excited there, isn't he? Some say it's the pinnacle of podcast shoots, the night shoot. I thought you might have. Should I close those blinds as well?
This is where it gets really good.
I can't believe this.
Oh, lighting. It's really hard.
Too much, too much.
too much. What a couple of pricks. Fucking hell.
For the listener, we just turn the light on.
Perfect, yeah. Right, fine. Let's ignore that. Let's carry on to the serious matter of talking about the sitcom.
All right, so let's just go through some of the types of characters that we had in this. How would you describe Brucey, first of all, in this? Quite pantomime we've covered.
But. Slinger, Mr. Slinger, right? He was generally quite sort of jolly, wasn't he? It was a bit. Like, people, you know, his staff were playing tricks on him and making, like, silly comments about him, but he was never really angry or was never really nasty to anyone. He was just like, oh, you,
yeah,
what are you like? And he would carry on with his day.
Yeah, just, like, quipping, like, comebacks, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just people, comebacks and barbs, and not barbs, barbs is the wrong word. But then he seemed quite competent, like, really, because, like, there was a customer...
We got that window fixed.
There was a customer who wanted... He wanted some jam, raspberry jam without raspberries in it. It's just because the pits get under her husband's foreskin. Oh, sorry. Under his, what was it she really said?
False teeth.
Thank you. Yeah.
So he suggested quite
stupidly.
Quite quickly. No, but it solved their issue.
Well, no, but you just get a different type of jam.
She didn't want raspberries in it.
Yeah, but you can get strawberry jam. You can get seedless. You could get a lovely marmalade or a honey.
You can't get no bits jam for little kids in it.
Yeah, but you can't. I imagine if you want jam, it's because you want jam for something like that.
I don't know, I had seedless.
Yeah, but you could have had strawberry jam.
Hmm?
Like strawberry jam, because that's jam but without the raspberries and without the pips.
Okay, that wasn't her issue though. The issue was the pips, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Because of his foreskin.
Right.
I think it's quite a good suggestion. I think it was quite a good suggestion.
She didn't say she didn't want the pips. She just said she didn't want the raspberries. So if that point,
I think the inference was that the seeds were getting loose.
Yeah, but if I didn't want raspberry jam because I didn't want the raspberries, I would just get strawberry jam.
Okay, but there's still the seed
issue. Wouldn't say, oh, Pips. Good morning, time for me toast, let's get a jelly going. You're not going to spread that on a toast, are you?
Good point.
What was you putting this jam on?
Maybe he was American. Yeah, he's talking about jelly. Okay, fine. He's not competent. But I thought it was quite a good, it was quite a quick response, and it sells her. She was happy. The customer's always right.
Yeah, but she sounded like she was right on thick, so.
Doesn't matter. She was satisfied. Anyway, she probably bought some jelly.
Never managed the supermarket.
Idiot.
Calling all the customers a prick.
So where can I find the silver four? Fucking dunce.
What do you want it for? Oh, fuck yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so he solved the problem. And that did impress the main... The chairman, didn't it?
Chairman, Mr. Crawford. Crawford, who was introduced. Right, so yeah, we've got Slinger, yeah? Slinger's game. We've got his.
That's like Mr. Molly's game sequel, Bruce Forsyth never filmed.
Slinger's day.
Slinger's game. There's an assistant manager, I don't know what his name was, but he was like a young lad who seemed ambitious and stuff, and he wants his job.
Yep.
Again, but nobody is a malicious character in this program. Everyone seemed quite nice. No one was like a villain or.
No, there's. Again, just Grandpa Joe was the only sort of.
The Irish lad.
Yeah, like drunken Irishman.
Oh, it was a bit annoying. But then everyone seems to get on with him.
Yeah.
He seemed like a nice enough guy, except he was just an alcoholic and incompetent.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean you're a bad person.
No. Well, no, he's Irish. Not mutually exclusive, is it?
We've already lost that audience. It's fine.
I can't remember much about it, I don't know what his name was. But, and then there were two.
Mr. Christian.
Sorry?
Mr. Christian, wasn't it?
Okay.
I don't remember that. Yeah. I'll go with that. You might be right.
Mr. Christian. Something and like then we've got the three or four staff we saw. The ladies didn't have didn't have very big parts.
No. Well, she did.
I was looking, the way they closed inspection.
Really looking for that tabard.
Well, we came to his first great misunderstanding where she said she was feeling a bit rough because she'd had a Chinese there the night before.
Yeah, that's the first thing I've got written down.
You get to see private life, none of my business, or something like that. Like, yeah. Fuck it. How would you phrase that? I had a Chinese last night.
Yeah.
What food? No, I fucked someone. Had a Chinese. A Chinese.
Yeah.
Good God. Jesus. So there were two ladies. They didn't have very large, characters in this. It was mainly focused on the two male shop workers. I can't remember what their names were. One was like a slightly posh and one was very cockney.
We've got Hardy and Higgins.
Hardy and Higgins. Lovely alliteration. Lovely stuff.
Yeah.
And they were fine again. They were playing tricks on Slinger. And he was like, he was quite good natured about it.
Can we go back a little bit to the introduction of Brucey in this, the first time we see him, when he's like darting up and down the aisles, where he first saw that woman with the
shopping. Yeah.
Which I don't know what that served, because this is like last episode.
No, because it wasn't really in keeping with his character, wasn't it? No, like, but we don't know though. Really, was it?
What's the other? This is like the last episode, so surely that's not something that's been introduced in like the finale. Oh,
by the
like,
way, everyone,
yeah, this guy never made a series three. Yeah.
So yeah, it's showing. I think it starts off with like quite close in on him walking down prancing down the supermarket aisle. Then he stops and goes, "Oh!" You see his facial expression. It zooms out. And there's a lovely lady bending over in front of him and he's having a good look. And then he sort of, he darts around trying to follow her around the supermarket. Predatory. But it doesn't really go anywhere. Like, he gets in front of her and he goes, "Oh, beauty before age." And then he goes fast and that's it.
Yeah, he constructs the situation so that he has a conversation with her. Just have a little flirt. We've all been there.
Yep. She had dumped like a truck and he wanted to get in there. That's perfect, right? So then that's that, and then everyone's in the canteen at this point, right? The rest of the staff, all of the staff are in the canteen at the same time. Well, apart from the blood lady, I suppose.
Yeah.
The security guard, I guess, is in there. No, he comes in, doesn't he? I don't know.
Yeah, just the blonde woman wasn't there.
It was basically it was a show of just like setups and then like one liners and stuff. It was.
Well, they helped establish that the drinks machine, like for coffee, and that weren't working. First of all,
you got a hot chocolate rather than a coffee.
Yeah, and then that led into the break where it happened again, where chicken soup after chicken soup was being.
Oh, was it chicken soup?
I think he's just saying about chicken soup. Yeah,
because
he tasted it.
Did a kind of spit take thing. Like, chicken soup.
And I was disgusted by it. Yeah. I thought it was just like.
It's just quite nice, but I suppose if you're expecting coffee and you drink chicken soup, it would be disgusting. Yeah, but
yeah.
I don't mind it. But So they're all in the canteen and they're talking about So the chairman walks in and then he's like, oh, sorry, it's staff only in here. And he's wearing a bowler hat. He looks like a poshman.
Yeah. A poshman.
He's like, basically, it turns out he's the chairman. His car broke down, so he's just checking out one of the branches, so to speak. Brucey walks in. He's like, what's going on here? It's staff only. So then, basically, the assistant manager knows he's the chairman, and then Brucey, without knowing, obviously not knowing who he is, starts slagging off the chairman, saying, oh, he's Clueless, whatever his name was. Clueless, sorry.
Clueless Crawford, yeah.
Clueless Crawford. And it basically slowly dawns on him that he's the chairman, and then the assistant manager stitched him up. Which is the only part of the show where someone seems genuinely annoyed with the other person. That's that. That's how that's set up. So there's a bit of an antagonism between, you know, those two, and then the chairman pops in. And this is where the pain in the neck stuff starts. So, you know, a customer comes back with a dinted 10. So, chairman bowls out, and as that's happening, they're having a thing about his customers returning a dented tin of potatoes. Bleak. And Brucey goes to one of Harris or Higgins or whoever goes, oh, chuck me one of those tins of tomatoes. He's like, oh, chuck it yourself. And he lobs it. It's like a fucking fastball in cricket. Yeah. It was so fast. And the thing is, the trajectory of it was like overarm, so it's heading downwards. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like JFK, back into the left. He's going yeah. up and from down.
He was in a grassy knoll when he threw it as well.
He was, yeah.
Oh, four. Clear up in aisle four, grassy knoll.
Brains on floor. Yeah, and the chairman's wife was in like a pink suit, like trying to scoop his.
There was a lady in a babushka, wasn't there?
Sorry? There was, yeah. Oh, yeah, so then if he chucks it, it's obviously way too fast for Brucey to catch. He's getting on in his ears. He's only got the reflexes to catch it. Anyway, it's a fucking tin of potatoes. Speed, yeah. It's going, no way he's going to catch that.
And the trajectory, at best, it would have hit the man's shin, the back of his shin.
So it goes straight through the window. Everybody's genuinely shocked.
Yeah.
Really shocked.
Well, yeah, and it did set up the shock, so he literally lobbed it
yeah.
at him. Yeah. The tin, like, it's mad.
I remember he had to just throw it really hard because he had to break that glass. But then I guess it was just like sugar glass, wasn't it? It wasn't going to be like proper glass.
Yeah, yeah. Went very easily through.
Sugar glass. Every time. So yeah, and it turns, and they're like, oh, where's Mr. Crawford? What did Mr. Crawford say about it? Well, not very much. It hit him on the head.
No, a comedy shot of him, yeah, like slumped in like boxes, some cardboard trash. Boxes and bins
in a pile of trash dent
in the top of some his
flying Tweety Birds yeah. around him. It was proper cartoon.
Tweety Bird, of course, is a Looney Tune, not a Disney character. And that's that. Then
he gets brought back in, and he sat down, little bruise on his head, and Mr. Christian comes in with a brandy for him, which of course Brucey takes the beef for him instead.
Yeah, he goes, oh, I've got you bought this brandy, and then Bruce is like, oh, thanks, and just like downs it.
Michael Crawford there.
So then he goes, don't worry, I'll go and get another one, comes back in, and while this is happening, the Irish bloke's coming for some reason.
Yeah.
Because here I've got his brandy, he's like, oh, thanks a lot. And downloads that, it drinks it.
Downloads it.
I don't know why. That's that joke, that was a repeated joke, that's funny. And then stuff with a bowler hat in it, because I always, your bowler hat has a bit of a dent in it, and he goes to like fist it, and it smashes straight through the brim.
Yeah.
And separates the brim of the hat from the actual top of, I don't know what the top part is called, the cranium.
The bowl.
And he does a little like salute
to say,
to say goodbye to one of the women there, and then he realizes that he's only wearing the brim.
The brim, yeah.
Yeah, and then he puts the hat back on him, like top, like bowl bit first, then the rim of the hat, and then says something like, "Hello, Rabbi.
Goodbye, Rabbi.
Goodbye, Rabbi.
Good night, Rabbi. Broken hat."
That's quite funny. Yeah. I thought that's quite funny.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's acceptable.
What do you mean?
Can you say good night, Rabbi, to someone that looks at nothing like a rabbi? And
what's the hat? I don't know if it's any sort of intent of anti-Semitism in the joke. I think it's just that hat looks a bit like a big hat.
For example, like with my beard, I've had people refer to me as being Jewish, and like, I'm not taking offence to it, but I wonder if someone that is Jewish would. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, you have to be sensitive about these things.
Yeah.
Mm.
Again, this was just a raucous sitcom in the late 80s, so I think that's taken into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, you've had a Chinese last night. Forget the Jews at that point, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, yeah. that was a funny bit. And then we're on to the business of who's going to guard the store, because the Glazers can't come till tomorrow. Is it Glazier or Glazer? Is it both? Or is it neither? Glazer.
Glazers.
So they can come the next day. So someone's got to stay up all night. Yeah. Nobody wants to do it, and the chairman orders that Brucey does it, which I'm not sure is in his power, but Brucey accepts it.
Well, and they've all got their own reason for why they can't do it as well.
Good point. What are the reasons, Mark?
I don't remember all of them, but one of them I do have. I think maybe we didn't do Joke of the Week last time, I just remember, but this one maybe. Mum to a jumble sale, and he said, "Oh, I hope you get a good price for her," which I thought was
not bad. It's pure Brucey as well. Yeah, that was a good one. The other lad was doing some sort of political thing, which is a bit of a weak. It was a bit of a weak joke where he goes, "Oh, I've got a political party. We're going to change the face of politics, or whatever." And Brucey's like, "Oh, really?" And then he goes,
"Porky Pig again."
Lady Toons. And he's like, "How many are you?" And then they're like, "Oh, three of us." Three. He's like, "Well, it's a start."
I did actually hear that a bit.
Yeah, it's rubbish. It was very weak.
He was just so overblown, though. What was a bit where he had his tongue like hanging out his mouth, didn't he?
Oh, God, yeah. what was that in relation to?
Madman.
That was with
well, it was the chairman.
The chairman, wasn't it? The chairman, like right face to face, wasn't he? Oh, Mr.
it was proper grim. Yeah.
Oh, it's so ridiculous.
I felt physically uncomfortable seeing that.
We should cut that into like a kiss video with the tongue and Brucey getting involved.
That's a gif. Oh, Jesus.
So Brucey basically agrees to stay up overnight and guard the shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it helps to say this for plot point later on, but Irish guy, the security guard, as played by Grandpa Joe from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
So is that really him?
In the newer one, Johnny Depp.
Oh, Tim Burton. Oh, right. Yeah, I didn't think he looked like him. No. Okay, that's interesting.
He wasn't Grandpa Joe in the first one.
Oh. I think it's funny, isn't it? Because we had not two weeks ago, in the series 6 episode, penultimate episode, the lady in that was from the same film, wasn't she? She was Fruka Silt's mum. Prince Among Men. Lisa was.
Yes.
Little connections there popping up.
Yeah, look at that. Building our own universe.
Most ambitious crossover in podcasting history. What?
It's taken 6 series, but we've got 7 series, we've got this far. He made a point of saying he was going to meet some woman, about some grieving woman that's had like a dead husband for 2 years. It's the same about going to confession afterwards. He was like, "Oh, I hope so." Basically, going to have sex with her.
Pumping. Yeah.
And he goes,
wonder if she was Chinese.
Was that her name?
What?
Pumping.
Jesus Christ. You should have written for the show, Mark. Yeah.
He's possessed. Pumping. He's possessed with a 1980s sitcom writer.
What sitcom? One man possessed by the Prince Powell. The bitch. People the bitch. Sorry, who is Vince Powell? Right. Have you heard of Bottle Boys? No. Fuck.
Have you heard of Slinger's Stuff?
He keeps punning in tongues.
Have you heard of Vince Powell? No. Excuse me. <right. laughs>
Have you heard of brush strokes? Are you okay?
Man possessed Vince Powell. He keeps punning and doing jokes that's just slightly out of date. Slightly offensive. Meet my dad. Just one thing you should know about him. Possessed by Vince Powell. Just don't mention anything about Chinese. Okay? And don't, please don't bend over in front of him.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, the trailer. One man.
Just, I guess, jump ahead massively. So he goes to stay there overnight. Yeah, let's just go to that.
But. People are just playing tricks on him all the time. So everyone leaves, one of them stays behind, and he's going, I'm here, I'm going to beat you up.
Oh, yeah.
It's me, isn't it?
He claimed to be Jock, who was 6'4", and it was just a colleague just playing around with
him. I'm going to fuck you up. That's what he's saying, basically. I'm going to fucking do you in.
Yeah, but one point or another, all the staff members come in and start to... just play tricks or try and...
That's what I'm thinking. It's like you've been there all day working. Why would you go back to the place you work? You fucking losers. What are you doing? That's why you work in a supermarket, I suppose. No offence.
Depends if you're walking past it, I suppose.
No.
What do you mean?
Oh, my manager's still there. I'm going to pop in and see how he is.
Yeah, but it depends on how you get on with people you work
with. A couple of lads went down the pub and they went, oh, let's go and taunt him with an empty beer can and some empty fish and chips.
Yeah.
Fish and chips is popping up a lot in these sitcoms, isn't it?
No. I guess it's quite a British comedy thing.
Good point, yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, this one threw in Chinese as well, just to balance it out, so that's fair enough.
Yeah, I've had curry and chips, so.
Yep.
All of the foods.
Covered. So, yeah, these things happen, and then one of the lads for some reason brings him a radio so he can listen to it, and this went nowhere. Like, what?
It did go somewhere. Because they put the radio on and it had like the guns.
I know, but it's just such a weak, tenuous setup for like a weird joke. Like
what?
It was just for a reference for the listeners. It was just like a radio show.
Yeah, like a radio drama. But all this was like just like one ridiculous setup thing for another, wasn't it? I'm sure that guy only bought him the Chinese to have as a meal because it came in a tinfoil tray.
Oh, absolutely. Which is empty as well, by the way.
Yeah, there was nothing in it apart from like three pots of grease sauce.
So the whole point, the only reason this radio gets involved in this part of the plot is like, how does this get written? They're like, oh right, okay. So we get the radio, and then there's no radio play, and then the policeman comes in because he thinks this is the thing. And is that funny enough to be in here? Don't know. Sure. It doesn't matter. Just chuck it in.
The last episode. Just write it. Yeah.
Just keep going. We need as many jokes as we can in this. Bruce cannot be still at any point. He needs to keep. He's like, what's it called? That Jason Statham thing.
Crank.
He's like crank. Wank. He needs to be moving the whole time. He doesn't stop.
I wouldn't call it wanking. He's got to keep moving the whole time.
If he doesn't stop moving, his wig will fall off. He has to keep moving. His wig looked terrible, like, didn't it? The wig technology has come on so much.
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously RIP. He's dead now. But back then. It looked fucking terrible, didn't it? It looked like someone put a rubber band over his head.
So here's a mini game we can play beforehand. How old do you think he was?
Oh, that's a good game.
On whilst this was being filmed, if I've done the maths right,
I'd say he's in his
50s.
I'll
say 50s. 60s. Or late 40s.
60. Oh, fucking hell. What? 66. It must be his 90s when he died.
What, in the 80s?
No. It must be his 90s when he died. He's been going around for years. He's been going. And he was pretty old when he started.
He looked haggard, I thought, in that.
Oh, he's 66.
That was just the stress of running the supermarket.
That's just a stressful job.
66, and what are you going for?
Well, I went for late 40s. I went for 50s.
And he's also doing like fucking 18-hour days. Like, to stay in the shop. So he's
60s and...
Oh, Frank,
66.
55.
He was 59 in this.
Oh.
So you're probably both about as close as each other in
Life begins at 60, that's what they said to him at the time.
To make him feel better about this finishing. So life begins at 60, Bruce, it's fine. You're doing another 60.
Listen, you've got a generation game ahead of you, I think. I don't know.
It's the name of the game, you know?
It is, Bruce. You got the play cards right. Big giant. Imagine this pitch. You know playing cards, right? Yes.
I'm listed.
He wasn't named that crisp. Imagine playing cards, Bruce. Okay, but imagine them really big, right?
I mean, they're only really big because he was.
They're
so
also
old.
Pretty women holding them. I'm in. So can I not wear my wig? No, you have to wear the wig. That's part of your contract. But right, so he's overnight. Other people come and play pranks on him, don't they? The two lads come back, and then
they're pranks of some.
You know what I mean? The Irishman comes back. He's hammered. So he was going to try on that woman, but she was fucking someone else, basically.
O'Reilly was under the bed.
Yeah, classic. I think what the Irish get up to.
Bloody Paddy O'Reilly's always doing that.
Classic Patrick O'Reilly. So then that happens. Basically, the long and short of it is Mr. Christian brings him Chinese takeaway to eat.
Just brought me a potato.
He's hungry.
single uncooked potato
in a tin yeah. container.
Is there any Irish? Was it Colcannon's Irish? Or is that Scottish?
I think it's Scottish, isn't it?
What is that? Colcannon. I've never heard of that.
You put cannon in the fridge.
Can of drink.
Right. Listen. So Charlie, because I guess because he's like obsequious and he's trying to slack up to Mr. Slinger.
Yeah.
No, it's Ireland, Colcannon.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, what is it?
Like mash with like.
Oh shit, bits of shit in it.
Cabbage and stuff in it.
Oh, yeah,
it's, it's pure, it's pure fartful fuel. You're going to be guffing for hours after that. So he goes into the canteen to eat his Chinese takeaway. Second reference to Chinese takeaway. I don't know if they're sponsored by Chinese takeaways, but it sounds like it. While they're in there, the Irish fella falls asleep. Obviously, he's hammered. While that's happening, they hear some sort of commotion. I don't know why there's a commotion. I think his cans fall over. I don't know. Fucking, who knows? Basically, instead of going to find out what it is, which would solve the situation, because it's a sitcom, they stay in there and go, oh, they literally like hold each other because they're scared. It turns out it's, for some reason, the chauffeur and Mr. Crawford coming back.
I think he was coming back with a bottle of champagne to say thank you. And
fair play. Yeah. Fair play, a lovely gift. So what the plan is, because they assume it's a burglar, so they're gonna assault him. So they hide behind the door. Christian throws a blanket over his head.
Where did that come from, actually?
It was just happened to be hanging there. Why was it there? Don't know. It doesn't matter.
A big white sheet in the supermarket for emergencies.
Yeah, go and get the 6 foot fire blanket, please. This is important to hang that in the canteen. Wasn't there in the earlier shots? Who would bring a sheet to work? Why was there a sheet there?
Was it the guy? There was a guy dressed in blue. First of all, was he some sort of decorator or something? Maybe.
I thought he was like deliveryman.
Deliveryman.
Deliveryman. Not a poshman. Deliveryman.
Deliveryman. Maybe it's something was decorating. Maybe it's the window they put a sheet down. Who knows? Okay. Who knows? It's irrelevant, either, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. They didn't put that much thought into it.
Yeah, the sheet got thrown over his head, and then he got repeatedly beaten with the
emphasis on
tin foil tray, which wouldn't have done that much damage anyway.
But he's already injured from the potato tin on the head, so maybe he's already he had a weakened skull.
An existing wound.
Weakened
skull. Cranium was there.
So that happens.
That's about on the death certificate.
That happens. I can't remember what Bruce's reaction was when he found out that it was the chairman.
He passed the tin foil tray to Mr. Christian, who then threw it across the room.
And then was like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's just checking.
Like, apologetic, wasn't he?
That's the end. Then it cuts to the next day, with new window in, everything is right as rain. The final, I don't know, there's probably some jokes and stuff, but then basically, long short of it is that the trolley stuck. Yeah. He tries to help it, push it straight through the newly glazed window. The end. Yeah.
And then it was cut to epic theme tune and the credits going over a scene of just, oh my god, I can't play.
Yeah, just like pantomimes telling each other off.
Yeah, trying to piece together the glass.
Absolutely superb.
No after credit scene. Just
no, we waited to see if there was a little Easter egg, there was none.
I was expecting a scene where after credits they look on one of the supermarket shelves and there's an Infinity Stone. I was looking forward to that.
Good God. Good God. Right, so...
So, does it stand the test of time?
Absolutely not, but I really enjoy it.
What do you mean, stand the test of time? apart from all the racism and the sexism and things. Apart from that.
So, no,
and the supermarket was a bit dated.
Yeah, you had a marathon bar, didn't they, instead of Snickers?
Yeah.
And they didn't have a barcode reader as well, wasn't it? It was after individually putting the prices in the...
Inefficient. But it didn't sound like it was very dated. Even like it did seem something older than its time. It did seem something that was older.
It's the hallmark of Vince Powell, really, isn't it? That everything he does.
He has a thing, and he just kept doing it. But no, I enjoyed it actually.
Yeah. I think I enjoyed it, and it didn't let up.
Oh no, it's unrelenting.
It was unrelenting, wasn't it? There was like no really dead time, was there? If there's a shot on the scene, they're gonna put some sort of either a joke, someone falling over, someone getting hit,
someone coming into the scene, coming out of the scene.
Yeah.
We need to use every character. We need to have everyone to see all the characters, if possible, get them all in this every single scene. I think a lot the same way that Queen's Castle was held by the performance of Diana Dawes, I think that is kind of carried by Brucey. And I would be, like I said at the beginning, like, be interested to see what the difference of performance was. And maybe it will change the tone of the show, maybe. I don't know if it's Leonard Ross's still different. But I can't imagine it being similar to Brucey and the dynamic between, he's a bit of put upon character everyone takes a piss out of.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know as much about Leonard Rossiter, but I would quite like to see it because we've watched
Remember him badly with three different.
Yeah, I was going to say Rising Damp, but yeah, that as well. We've done a comparison before, but yeah, it would be quite good to do that.
We could do that, yeah, but not now. Anyway, so Test of Time. We all unanimous that it's not. What's the joke of the week? Was
for me, it was the take Mum to a jumble sale. Yeah, I thought it was quite funny.
But there were a lot of similar kind of jokes that.
Yeah.
Brucey, all right, that's good. Stupid game, is it?
Great. Yeah, let's go for a Mark's stupid game. Mark made a game. Stupid game. Mark has made a stupid game. Let's play the game. Let's play the fucking stupid game. Would you like to guess what today's
Slinger's
game is?
Slinger's game.
Game every time. Stringer's game is like about pitch string velo.
No, that was
Stringer's game is about cheese strings.
No,
Chris.
Slinger's game, and it's like a game meats or don pheasant.
Springer's day, and it's about the.
Oh, it's day, isn't it? Not game.
Oh no, it's difficult, isn't it?
It's conditions.
Springer's Day is about Springer Spaniels or something.
Springer Spaniels?
Dog, innit?
Was it? Oh, I don't know.
Springer's Day and it's mattresses, whether it's pocket sprung or memory foam.
Mark's like, oh, fuck. We've done that. Were we right with any of those, Mark?
Unfortunately not. The game is Slinger's Payday. Oh. So in the spirit of Brucey, it's a higher or lower base game with currencies.
Jesus.
Love a good conversion. Starting with 100 great British pounds.
Sterling.
I want you to tell me if the following number is, once converted to a different currency, higher or lower.
This is nonsense.
What, is he going to tell us a number?
So if I can
imagine this being an entertaining game for people to listen to.
This is what he pitched to Thomas Cook, is like, while you wait.
If I gave you 100 great British pounds,
yeah,
and you went to, so you'll be up first.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
great.
No, sorry, you won.
No, you
yeah,
won,
sorry.
So
yeah,
absolute like landslide. Lovely.
Sorry, you won. It's my mistake.
Massacre.
So if I gave you 100 great British pounds and I should have changed them to euros,
okay,
would you get more or less numerical?
Would it be the same equivalent?
It would, yes, but like the number.
Numerically.
Would the number be higher or lower?
Higher.
Correct.
Thank you.
That's an easy one.
Mind games, look. Sledging.
God. Would the, again, 100. Oh, hang on, no. So, how have I done this?
Oh, my God. Don't ask that. Don't ask us.
So, off of that, higher, it was 117.65.
Yeah.
Right. Albania lek.
Oh.
Higher or lower?
So, if I had 117 euros.
117.65 is the next number higher or lower?
So would I get more than 117.65 lek?
That's the question.
I'd say I would. I'd say it'd be higher.
Higher, yeah. Correct, higher.
It's mainly going to be higher, isn't it?
Jones, with the Albania lek, you have 14,392.20.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, you get a lot.
I'm a rich man.
Get a lot of lek for your euro. How many Tunisian dinar would you get?
More.
Incorrect.
Fuck.
Wow, you get...
Fuck.
You would get 366.74.
Mm.
So, Wood, with that in mind, how many Cuban pesos would you get? The number was 366.74.
Pesos are high, aren't they? So I'd say more.
It's less.
Ooh.
Ooh, I was thinking Cuban Spanish.
The Cuban peso, sorry, will get you 130.56.
Cuba for you,
James. With that in mind, it's the Cubans for you, James. With that in mind, 130.56 Cuban pesos. Yeah, Danish krone, higher or lower?
Denmark in the EU?
No,
obviously not. I'm gonna say. Lower.
It's higher.
Fuck.
And it's a lot higher.
Oh.
879.24.
Oh, so for 133 odd pesos, you get
479 krone. What's the commission percentage of that? I
didn't work that for you, unfortunately. What's the commission
percentage? So,
to me. She handing over the money. What's your commission
percentage? I forgot to mention, I am in disguise in the Bureau of Change. Excuse me, I'd like to convert this paper to the It's for a game. It is a boring game, but it is a game. It's for the fucking trench coat.
So 879.24 Danish krone into Jamaican dollar. How many would you get?
Less.
Fewer.
Unfortunately not. It's higher.
Who's winning this? Who's winning this game?
No, you are.
You are winning. You are 2-1. Well, I don't know.
It's nonsense, isn't it?
17,378.41 Jamaican dollars.
It's mad, isn't it?
Jones, with that in mind, how many Japanese yen would you get?
How many Japanese yen would I get for what? Doesn't matter, does it?
17,000. Yes, 14,311.95.
I had a Japanese last night.
Did you? How was she?
Brilliant.
Wood, Kenyan shilling. And the previous one was 14,311.
Oh, less.
Annoyed, look, you know he's lost all hope.
Correct. 13,000. Oh, 3-2,
the comeback.
13,274.
How many more rounds of this game are
there? Two more.
How many countries in the world?
James, the South African rand. The previous one was 13,274.
How many? 13,000?
13,000. And the South African rand.
Rand? What was the last one? Yen.
It was the Kenyan shilling.
Oh, Kenyan shilling. We have a Kenyan to South African. I don't know why I just think this would help me, but
yeah. But if you think it's always going to be £100, just think of it that way. Really,
good point. Yeah. More.
It's less, significantly less. 1,859.36. Unfortunately,
of course it's less. Stupid question.
Would you could draw this to help me win?
Don't do it, Chris.
The United Arab Emirate dirham. So the previous number was 1,859.36. Is it higher or is it lower?
Is the pressure one
lower?
It's lower. 479.95. What a hollow victory, because that means I get to pick.
I know. What the hell are you going to pick?
The worker I'm on? I don't know what this is. So let's go with the worker. I've got no memory of this whatsoever.
The worker?
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Well, that's that then. That's for next week. Good episode, lads. Well done. Hope everyone enjoyed it. We certainly did.
Yeah.
It. Yeah. Review and subscribe and review and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, do all the usual stuff.
All that stuff.
All of it.
Yeah, all the usuals.
All of it or none of it. We know which option you usually take.
Naming no names.
Oh, fun fact, the website's gone down, so you can't find us on greatbritishshowcom.com anymore.
Oh, is it? Why?
I don't know, it's just not working anymore. So
GeoCities is
I've been doing too much Habbo Hotel. So as ever, you've been listening to the Great British Shitcom. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we're also on YouTube as well.
Absolutely.
At British Shitcom on all the socials with the hashtag Shitcom.
What's that?
Is that a picture of the worker?
That's for the worker.
Oh, what do you think it was?
It looks like a cobbler.
That's my profile pic.
Fucking cobbler. He does though, doesn't he?
He does. That one with the little round glasses.
You look like a cobbler. Oh,
you fucking cobbler.
So that was series 7 of us with Slinger's Day. Thanks very much for joining us again, as always. And yeah, I've been Mark. This is Chris and Chris.
7 series away.
What's your commission on the series?
What the fuck?
What the fuck is going on? Oh, God. Yeah, I've been marked. These are the Chris's.
I got some cards. What a pleasure. All right, cheers.
We'll see you next week, as always.
Yeah, we will.
Bye-bye.